1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 is where we'll be tonight. Been speaking about the matter of prayer for the past few Wednesday nights. I want to continue that tonight in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Very familiar verse, very, very short verse. But this will be our text verse tonight. I want to speak to us tonight about the all, A-L-L, the all of prayer. The all of prayer. And what we find here at the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, we find several little flash commands. And it really begins in verse number 16. They're just real quick, real short. In verse number 16, he says, Paul is speaking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, rejoice evermore. And then our text verse tonight, he says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, he says, quench not the Spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. Verse 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. We need to prove everything. And those things that aren't good, we let them go. Those things that are good, the Bible says we hold them fast because not everything is good, right? And we need to prove all things, the Bible says. Verse 22, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. In verse number 23, he gives us the reason for these little flash commands. In verse number 23, and he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify you wholly. And so he ends this letter. And by the way, I know it's not in. There's still five more verses to go. In verse 25, by the way, he gives a couple more of those little commands. In verse 25, brethren, pray for us. There's that thought and that subject of prayer. But in verse 23, he says, the very God of peace sanctify you. So they are given, these little flash commands are given for our sanctification, for our setting apart, for our benefit, if you will. And so one of those little flash commands is verse number 17, pray without ceasing. And so I want to speak to us tonight on the all, A-L-L, the all of prayer. So let's pray tonight. We'll ask the Lord to help, and then we'll give us three words tonight, three areas that lend itself, or not lend itself. The Bible's very clear that these three areas, that word all comes into play when it comes to the matter of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Help us and teach us, and we'll surely thank you for what you'll do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The first thing I want us to see are the command regarding our moments. And that's what we find right here, all the moments. When are we supposed to pray? All moments, all minutes. Pray without ceasing. And so the first word I want us to see is the word moments. We are to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. Why? Now, we could give many reasons tonight. I want to submit two to us, if I could tonight, just for brevity, although there are many reasons why we should pray all of the time. We should pray without ceasing, even though we may not be in a posture of prayer per se. We might be driving a car and we're praying. We might be lying in bed getting ready to fall asleep and we're praying. We might be mowing grass and we're praying. I have found that one of the best things that when you're probably no different than I am. When I mow grass, I mow the grass and then I mow the grass. You know what I'm talking about? Mowing the grass is a good time to think, isn't it? But it's also a good time for the devil to get into our thoughts, isn't it? And we start thinking things, and I have found that when that happens and we start thinking about things that we ought not think about, and we start maybe thinking about situations that have come into our lives and they've caused us a little consternation, and we start thinking about those and the devil starts bringing thoughts, and we have to capture those thoughts. We have to bring them into captivity, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, and we have to cast them down. But I have found one thing that is good to do while I'm mowing is to pray. It's a great opportunity to pray. It's a couple of hours just to spend in constant prayer for family or whoever, but just praying. And so we may not be in the posture per se of prayer, but the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. So the first all that we see tonight are all moments. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 24. And I'm going to give you the first one. We're not going to go to the text tonight because we just looked at it recently. We even preached a message on it regarding the matter of prayer. But we must pray, and I want to submit two thoughts to you tonight about all moments. We must pray every moment, first of all, because we are constantly at war. We are constantly at war. In Ephesians chapter number 6, we just preached recently about being battle ready, and one of those messages was battlefield communications. Paul kind of ends that thought there on the spiritual battle. He finishes it with prayer, and he finishes it asking them to pray for him, but he finishes it with the matter of prayer. And so first of all tonight, we must pray every moment because we are constantly at war. And by the way, we're not just constantly at war. Who else is constantly at war? Okay, Satan. But who else besides just me? Okay, the Holy Spirit. Everyone. My three kids are constantly at war. So I need to be praying every moment. Because there's a devil out there who would love to tempt my three children. He'd love to tempt my two boys. And there's plenty of things in this world right now to tempt them. There's plenty of things at a fingertip to tempt them. And so I need to be praying for them. I need to be praying for my daughter. I need to be praying for my wife. I need to be praying for my church family. I need to be praying for my nation. I need to be praying for my community. Why? Because we're at war, spiritual war. And the Bible tells us there in Ephesians chapter number 6, and by the way, you don't have to turn there. I had you go to Matthew chapter number 24, but I think I'd be negligent not reading at least a little bit of it there. Ephesians chapter number 6, let me read if I could, verse 18. He says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He says in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We must pray every moment because we are constantly at war. But I'll give you a second one, and I had you turn to Matthew chapter number 20. Excuse me, I had you turn to Matthew 24, but we need to be in Matthew 26. Would you turn there? Matthew 26. Secondly, we must pray every moment because we are to be constantly, and we already saw it in Ephesians chapter 6, we are to be constantly on watch. Because we're constantly at war, and we're to be constantly on watch. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 40, the Bible says, and he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? He's in the garden. He's praying. He's praying that prayer that leads to him sweating great drops of blood. And the disciples are there. And he says, you can't even watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. All moments. Why? We must pray every moment because we are constantly at war. And we must pray every moment because we are to be constantly on watch. Constantly on watch. That sentry, when he stands guard, he is constantly on watch. He can't go to sleep. He's constantly on watch. Listen, dear friend, tonight God's people need to constantly be on watch. I understand we sleep and we do different things and we're working, but the idea in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is that we are in a constant attitude of prayer because we need, what do we need? We need help from God. We need God because we need help. We need God because we are helpless. We are powerless. And so we must be in a constant attitude of prayer. And listen, when the old devil comes and he tries to put thoughts in our minds and he tries to get our minds diverted onto other things, that's the best moment to pray. Devil, you're not going to get my mind diverted. I'm going to pray. Instead of thinking about something I don't need to think about, I'm going to pray. All moments, because we're constantly at war and because we must be constantly on watch. Let me give you a couple other verses if I could. We're not going to go there. If you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 16:13, Colossians 4 verses 2 and 3, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse number 6. We must pray every moment because we are to be constantly on watch. Let me give you number two. First of all moments. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Timothy 2 with me if you would. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the all of prayer. First of all moments. But then secondly, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, all men. All men. All moments. But secondly, all men. Pastor, there's just some folks I can't pray for. Pastor, there's just some folks I have a hard time praying for. Notice what the Scriptures say in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We'll begin in verse number 1. All moments, but number 2, all men. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for, what's the next two words? All men. It's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, that's all men. For all men. And then he begins to list some of these men. For kings. And for all that are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. In all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who will have, what's the next two words? All men. Who will have all men to be what? Saved. And to come into the knowledge of the truth. Number one, all moments. But number two, all men. Why all men? First of all, because all men need salvation. Because all men need salvation. Will they all be saved? No. But all men need salvation. And so we must pray for all men. Because all men need salvation. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should what? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. All moments, but number two, all men. We must pray for all men because all men need God's, need God's salvation. They all need salvation. But secondly, we must pray for all men because all men not only need God's salvation, but they need God's sustenance. And by the way, I'm not just talking about physical. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally, we must pray for all men because all men need God's sustenance. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Psalm 55 with me, if you would, just quickly. Psalm 55. Brother Wesley mentioned it a moment ago. Boy, we need God's Word. Man needs God's Word. What men need today is not more money. You say, Pastor, I could do with a little more money. Okay, I'm with you. I could too. But that's not what we need. What we need is God's Word. What man needs is God's Word. What children and teenagers need is God's Word. They need God's Word. They don't need another gymnasium to fill up their time to keep them out of trouble. We spend a lot of money in our nation. The government spends a lot of money building buildings so that kids can have somewhere to go after school to keep them out of trouble. You say, well, Pastor, aren't you for keeping kids busy so they'll stay out of trouble? Yeah, and my daddy used to call that work. Why don't we take some of those teenage guys and put them to work building the buildings? Instead of building a building so they can go play for 4 or 5 hours after school. It's called work. A good afternoon's work after school, they'll sleep well at night. They don't have to be out on the streets at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. They'll sleep well at night. And we spend a lot of money doing these things. And here's the thing, if we're going to build the buildings, instead of building a gymnasium, we ought to build a whole bunch of chapels so that they can hear the Word of God. Because what men need is God's Word. Psalm 55 and verse number 22. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall do what? Sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Why do we need to pray for all men? Because all men need salvation. Because all men need God's sustenance. And He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But we need God's Word. Children need God's Word. Teenagers need God's Word. Let's move on to number three. First of all moments. Number two, all men. And then let me give you number three. Take your Bibles and go to Philippians 4, and we'll get to this passage in our study in Philippians, probably several weeks down the road, but look at Philippians chapter 4. All moments, all men need salvation. All men need God's sustenance. And then number three, all matters, all matters. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7. Anything you can think of, you can pray about it instead of worrying about it. All matters. When should we pray? All moments. Who should we pray for? All men. What should we pray for? All matters. Everything. Look what he says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Concerned, worried about, agitated about, anxious about. Be careful for nothing. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Now, there are individuals who say, well, Pastor, I'm just naturally a worrier. You're naturally a worrier because you're naturally a sinner. Worry is sin. Because God Almighty said, be careful for nothing. So, Pastor, you don't ever worry? I didn't say that, but I said it's sin. And when I worry, that's sin. Because when I worry, what I'm doing is I'm taking it out of God's hands and I'm putting it in my hands. Because I think I can fix it. And so I worry about it. I can't fix it. I can't bring it to pass. But when I worry about it, I just brought it into my hands and I took it out of God's hands. And when I bring it into my hands, I will naturally worry about it because I can't do it. Be careful for nothing. but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7, what will happen if we'll do that? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe God's word? I know you do. I know I do. But do we always apply that? See, Philippians 4:7 is very akin to Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I know people say, well, Pastor, that's easier said than done. I know that. It doesn't negate the fact that it's true. Pastor, that's easier said than done than to keep my mind stayed on God all the time. It's hard to do because the circumstance is right there and it's on my mind all the time. Yeah, it's on your mind all the time, and that's why you have no peace. But if I keep my mind stayed on Him, the Bible says He'll not only give us peace, but He'll give us what kind of peace? Perfect peace. And the Bible says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because when I pray about it, it's Christ Jesus that gives me the peace, because He's the only one that can answer. He's the only one that can help. He's the only one that can handle the problem. So where does the peace come? The peace comes from trusting Him. The peace comes from relying on Him. The peace comes when I stop relying on self and I start relying on Him. All the burdens taken off. If He can do something as big as forgiving me of my sin and washing it away and making me right with Him and giving me His righteousness, so that now when He looks at me, He doesn't see my sin, He sees His righteousness. If He can do that, can't He do all the little physical things? Can He do even the spiritual things? The financial situations, the emotional situations. Three alls. All moments, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. All men, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. All men need to be saved. Let me ask you tonight, do you have anybody you're praying for to be saved? I mean, there's a whole little box right there you could be praying for. These folks need to be saved. Let me ask you tonight, do we believe that God still saves? Do we believe that? Do we believe that He can still save these individuals? Absolutely. If He can't, then what are we doing? If He can't, we're wasting a whole lot of time, aren't we? No, but He can. Do you have anybody you're praying for to be saved? Do you have anybody you're actively witnessing to and talking to about being saved? You have somebody maybe at a store, or maybe an individual that you go see periodically because you know they need to be saved. Do you have someone you are actively speaking to about salvation? Then let me ask you this. Do you have someone or someones that you are actively praying for to be saved? Because all men need to be saved. And the Bible says that God would have all men to be saved. He desires for men to be saved. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9, that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. He tasted death for every man. And He desires all men to be saved. Okay, then we should pray for kings and for those in authority, and for those who aren't in authority. Sometimes I believe we get a little cynical about those who are in authority because we think, well, they'll never be saved. They might not, but they might. They may not, but they just may if we'll pray for them and if we might be the one to go talk to them. All moments, all men, and all matters. We didn't go back, but in Ephesians chapter 6, we read it just a moment ago, talking about all men. Paul asked them to pray for him. He said, pray for me as well so that I will have utterance to be able to give the gospel, so that I will be bold to be able to give the gospel. So yes, all men need God's salvation, but all men need God's sustenance. And by the way, that all men who need God's sustenance, that's us. That's all of us. We need God's power every day to be able to speak boldly. We need God's unction, if you will, every day to speak to someone about Jesus Christ. I don't have one in my pocket, but to say, hey, can I give you something? Will you read it? Tells you about Jesus Christ. Tells you about what He did for you. All men, all moments, and all matters. It's the way to perfect peace. All matters. Got something? Do you have something you're worrying about tonight? Repent of it. And then start praying about it. Confess it, and then start praying about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, worry about nothing, pray about everything. All moments, all men, all matters. Pray without ceasing. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Help us as we do go to prayer. And Father, we're desirous for you to hear us tonight. We have great needs in our church family. We have great needs in our community. We have great needs in our nation. We have great needs in our own individual families tonight, probably even some that weren't even mentioned tonight. Father, we have needs. Father, help us to be a people who acknowledge that you're the only one that can help. And Lord, that we would come in simple prayer as best we can. We would come before your throne of grace every moment for all men about all matters. And then, Lord, just leave it in your hands, because we're careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We love you tonight, Lord. Help us. Father, you are our help. And we're asking that you'll help and intercede in here tonight. And we'll thank you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.